It's noon here in beautiful Ventnor, New Jersey, and this is news that you can use from Car Edge with your hosts, Zach and Ray, for Tuesday, March 21st. How are you today, handsome?
Doing great, Pops. Happy Tuesday to you. All right, here's the deal.
Yeah.
We're going to jump in. CPO. Yeah. What does CPO stand for, Dad?
It stands for Certified Pre-Owned Vehicles.
All right, so we had the lead story on Automotive News this morning. Quite interesting. CPO sales plunged. Like, legitimately, automakers can't get increased certified pre-owned sales. And that's leading to them doing some kind of strange things, aka changing the rules for what it means to CPO a vehicle. This is really interesting. This is super interesting. I'll pull it up on the screen. We can read a few of the key points, and then I'm very curious, Dad, to get your take on this news and what impacts you think it's going to have on consumers like us. Here it is, Dad. As U.S. CPO sales fall to an 8-year low, some brands make older cars eligible. Some automakers decided to combat the drop in CPO sales by increasing the pool of used vehicle inventory that is eligible for certification. The too long didn't read, Dad. Last year, sales of CPO vehicles dropped to 2.49 million, down nearly 10% from 2021 and the lowest since 2014. As to why sales dropped in 2022, I think you did have some new vehicle inventory situations get better for some manufacturers. That's not the only thing that's doing it, Dad. There's simply fewer and fewer. For example, General Motors, their CPO sales were down 18%. There's just fewer cars that actually meet the criteria to be CPO'd.
Well, there's a couple reasons for that. And the main reason for that is all those lease cars that had been coming due in 2021, 2022, and so far the beginning of this year, they're not making it to the dealer lots. The residual values are considerably less than the actual retail values, market values. So the people are buying their lease vehicles out, never making their way back to the dealership, never replacing that lease car with a new car, turning that lease car back in so that it can then become a certified pre-owned car. So if there are fewer high-quality, relatively young used cars available, well, that means there's fewer vehicles that you can certify. And many dealers who are paying retail and above to get the higher quality pre-owned cars, whether they be at auction or whether they're appraising them at higher numbers so that they can get their hands on them, they're saying to themselves, we can't afford to certify these cars and add the additional expense because we can't get the extra retail value for it.
We're going to explain, and I find this to be fascinating, where I think the desperation is coming from the automaker side. And then, Pops, can you explain to all of us what it costs the dealer to CPO a vehicle? And as consumers, if we should even be thinking, oh, certified pre-owned, there's more value there. But first, folks, the desperation. And this is super interesting. I'm going to scroll down, zoomed it in. Parameters expand. For some automakers, certified used vehicle sales rose in 2022. Some automakers offer more customer-facing and dealer-facing incentives to help boost overall sales. Hyundai Motor America's certified sales rose 24% in 2022. So how did they do it, Dad? How did they do it? What Hyundai constitutes as certifiable inventory changed to include 6-year-old vehicles or vehicles with up to 80,000 miles, 1 year or 20,000 miles more than was previously allowed. Hyundai also dropped the Hyundai Certified Pre-Owned designation from its program in favor of Hyundai Certified Used after the company saw research that indicated customers understand that terminology more than CPO. Pops, they didn't sell more CPO cars because they changed it from certified pre-owned to used. They sold more CPO cars because they allowed more cars to become CPO'd.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what some of the dealers are doing. They're going back longer and further as far as what vehicles they will allow to be certified. And what would really be interesting about that is what the added value would be for those older cars. They might only get something like an extra 1 year worth of warranty or an extra 15 or 20,000 miles worth of warranty. And and very well might not be worth the extra cost to do that. Many dealers, you know, they certify some cars and don't certify others. And one of the reasons they do that is they want to have some lower price point cars. And then they can allow their finance departments to upsell the customers with either some type of wrap coverage or a longer term extended warranty coverage that would be longer term than that maybe additional 1 year or 20,000 miles worth of CPO coverage. And what's really curious to me is that the concept behind changing it from certified pre-owned to certified used, because, well, people understand that more so than if they don't know pre-owned is used, then God help America.
Pops, let's dig into a few things, because you got a comment here from Brad. Ford dealer here isn't even checking the cars they CPO, just slapping the CPO on a car to sell it. And it's interesting, Ford actually has a version of certification that goes up to vehicles that have up to 150,000 miles on them, yes, which is mind-boggling to me. So let's talk about that. What does it cost? Because it costs the dealer to actually CPO a vehicle. Is it worth it as consumers? And do you have questions? Do you think that as automakers extend the options for certified pre-owned vehicles, plus, you know, there's a shortage of quality used cars, no lease returns, are you an advocate for CPOs or not an advocate for CPOs? And I'll speak just briefly, the warranty piece, y'all got to get quotes from us on warranties before you just buy into the CPO warranty, because it probably is cheaper. There's a bit of a markup there.
Well, let me say this. The certified pre-owned programs out there depend on the manufacturer. Some manufacturers support it better than others. The CPO program, in some cases, can add a tremendous amount of value and peace of mind as far as warranty coverage on the vehicle. And it also requires dealers to have an additional layer of mechanical review and cosmetic review of the vehicle. For instance, when I was with Acura for a lot of years, I mean, they were pretty stringent upon what you had to do to certify a vehicle. I mean, literally, we had a full packet, a huge checklist that the mechanic had to go over and sign off on. The service manager had to review it and sign off on it. The sales manager, when it was sold, had to review it and sign off on it. And the customer had to review it and sign off on it. And then the extension of the warranty, if I remember correctly, back at that time was up to 6 years and 100,000 miles, so that you really ended up with a much better warranty coverage. But then there's other manufacturers that the warranty coverage is really limited. The amount of reconditioning required to be a certified car is somewhat limited. And in many cases, for some brands, like that one gentleman suggested, they just slap the CPO sticker on the car without actually really doing the reconditioning or the inspection. It's up to the dealers. It's up to the manufacturers to really police what their dealers are doing. But if it is policed, and if the dealers are doing what they're supposed to be doing, there can be added value. Now, you know, I know when I was with Acura and when I was with Mini, the average cost to recondition a vehicle to make it a certified vehicle was typically at that time somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000 to bring it up to the standards that either Acura required when I was with Acura or what Mini required. And then you actually pay another fee on top of that to the brand, to the manufacturer, for them to allow you to certify it, which is what gets you the additional warranty coverage and things like that. So the total cost could have been somewhere around $2,500. Take a car that you don't certify, it could be $2,500 less. So is there value? With some brands, there is. With other brands, there's not. If it's a third-party certification program, then there's probably no value to that.
And you're seeing more of those pop up, that you're seeing these third-party it's Jane Doe certified. That doesn't mean anything. I mean, I guess it means something, whatever Jane Doe does. But you, if you're thinking about certified pre-owned, look for an OEM CPO and then really understand what that means. Ask for the inspection checklist that they did. They do 160-point inspection. You know, really dig into that. And there you go. Jerry's got it right on the money, Pops.
Yes. Premium brands have significant higher CPO standards and better CPO audits. And that is the key to a quality CPO or certified pre-owned vehicle. If there is no audit, if there are really no standards, then it means nothing. But some brands really do stand behind the certification process, and they do audit their dealers to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
All right, Pops, let's switch gears. We know CPO sales have gone down. We know the desperation to certify older and older vehicles has begun. Let's get an update on the used car market in general. We have our friends over at Black Book to thank for this, Dad. On the wholesale market, we continue to see price increases. Car segment up nearly 2/3 of a point. The truck segment up nearly 0.5%. The market overall up 0.5%. We are seeing significant wholesale price increases at the auction. And Pops, let me put you on the spot and let's put everyone on the chat. What do we think the sales rate was at the auction? How many cars that actually made it to the auction actually sold last week? What do you think, Pops? It's been going up recently.
54-55%.
I'm going to guess 53. I haven't looked yet. I'll try not to make you motion sick. Give me a second.
Oh, don't worry. I have my eyes closed.
53%.
Okay.
So we are seeing wholesale prices go up at the same exact time that we're still seeing half of the cars that go to the dealer auctions actually selling. No wonder we're having a conversation about older and older cars getting CPO'd. There just aren't enough good cars.
But what you have to realize is that even though only 53% of them are selling, that's 5% more than what it was just a few weeks ago. We were below 50% sales rate at the auctions just a few weeks ago. So we're back up over 50%. There's been a slight increase in the number of cars, which means two things. It means dealers that wouldn't lower their floors and accept lower prices for their vehicles are now getting those prices if they're decent cars, because dealers are desperate for those cars and they're willing to pay for it. Or it just means that there's more cars available that dealers find acceptable. It still indicates with the rising wholesale values that there is still a shortage of quality pre-owned cars, and that's going to continue, in my estimation, for quite some time, simply because of all those new cars that were scheduled to have been produced in 2021, 2022, probably late 2020, that were not produced. And so this could drag on for years and years, where we will continue to have these shortages.
And I think
I know we disagree on that.
We disagree on this one, because consumer demand, Dad, there's this expectation that consumers are going to continue to spend money buying these cars. Really interesting data I'm about to pull up on the screen. I didn't share it with you, but here from Manheim, Cox Automotive tax refunds, the average return down from 2022. What you're looking at here, Dad, blue line, this represents a 2019 tax refund. Yes. Orange is 2022. And gray is going to be 2023. The cumulative tax refund is down significantly, $1,000 on average from where it had been for most folks. So if this dealership is going to the auction and paying a bunch of money for overpriced used cars, taking them back and thinking, okay, it's tax season, people are going to have their tax refunds, are going to buy a brand spanking new car, and oh great, I can get them into a 14% APR loan. I think more and more people are going to say, I'm good. I'm going to hold on to them. I'm good.
Well, I think we have seen the market both for new and used cars declining for quite some time. On the new car side, it's been proven out that even though sales are up, they're up because fleet sales are up, retail sales are not. On the used car side, used car sales are down, but then again, so is the used car inventory level down. And yes, there are more and more people who have decided, with prices being as high as they are, with interest rates being as high as they are, and loan terms being as long as they are, that they feel better taking themselves out of the market altogether. But at a certain point, those older cars that people are continuing to drive and repair are going to, at a certain point, reach the point where it makes no sense to continue to throw good money after bad on those vehicles. And some of these people are going to have to get back in the market. But having said that, you know, it could be a while before we see that happen. It's an affordability crisis, both in new and used cars. And we've been talking about it for months and months. And my suspicion is that we'll be talking about it for years and years.
Yeah, I think you're probably onto something there. I do think the affordability crisis drags on. We had a comment come through, Dad, from Leslie saying 14%, that's bad credit score. No, that is the average APR on a used car loan from the latest data we have in March from Cox Automotive. That's not bad credit score. That's average.
Yes. Yeah, So average takes into account, you know, the top tiers, which are going to get a lower rate, you know, all the way through subprime, and you average all that together, and the average used car interest rate is 14%. Now, that's not to say that if you're an 820 FICO score, that your used car loan is going to be 14%. It probably will not be. You know, those who have 14% interest rates have probably somewhat lower credit scores. But on the whole, whether you have good credit or bad credit, the cost of attaining credit has gone up. Doesn't matter if you're an 820 or a 620. Interest rates have gone up, and the Fed has indicated that their desire is to continue pushing interest rates even higher. So vehicles become even less affordable for those even with good credit.
100%. I want to turn our attention to one other thing and then to the chat. We have a very thoughtful super sticker come in that I'm going to pull up in just a second. Dad, Cox Automotive in Mannheim actually have the only data I've been able to find on repos. Yes. So we actually do see repo rates continuing to go up from their intra pandemic declines, but you can see repo rates, even though delinquency rates are at pre-pandemic highs, repo rates are just lagging behind. There's likely an incentive from the bank to not repossess the thing and instead try and work with their customers to pay off as much as possible.
I would think so, because they know in many, many, many cases they financed way more than they should have. And they know that the losses that they would take sending a vehicle like that to an auction would be astronomical. So rather than do it, many of these lenders are trying to figure out ways to work with their customers that find themselves somewhat behind on their payments.
We had really thoughtful contributions come in from All Truck Fleet Box Body Repair, and those are some good dance moves. Hopefully, when we do our automotive roundtable tomorrow night, we see even more dance moves from you, Pops. And Rod, with a thoughtful contribution as well. Rod,
thank you,
we appreciate that. Hey, so let's talk about this briefly, Dad. We did it yesterday. We did a live example. The good news here is now is a great time to sell your car. If you have, for example, we've got Jana in the chat saying, question, Toyota Camry 2017, all maintenance documentation, how much do you think it's worth? It's paid off. Two things to do, Jana. One, get a Black Book value on it. Black Book, you run the VIN, it'll give you a Black Book value, and you can do that at CarEdge.com. The other thing that you should be doing, Jana, is you should be plugging in your vehicle, go to CarEdge.com, click on sell. I did it yesterday for this 2020 Honda CR-V. Come here, put your vehicle in and see what the cash offers are from dealers in your area. Aggregate all of the different offers in one place. And it's cash offers. It's what they're legitimately paying for the vehicle. I think, Dad, we're going to see a huge spike in people selling their cars over the next couple of weeks here. Because if you don't need to replace it, now is the time to sell it. It's very obvious. We've seen the strength of offer go up significantly.
Oh, yes. And you know, looking at the Black Book wholesale data would indicate that, you know, dealers will have to pay even more for a comparable vehicle at the auction than they would if they bought it off the street. And it's cheaper for a dealer to buy it off the street because there's no buy fees at the auction. There's no transportation fees to get it back from the auction. You're handling all the transportation for them because you're driving your vehicle directly to them. So even if they're going to pay you what they would have to pay at the auction, it's still cheaper for them to do that than to actually buy the car at the sale. And many of your larger dealer groups obviously are putting together much stronger programs and marketing programs to encourage consumers when they want to sell a vehicle to sell it directly to them.
Dad, look at this from PL Necky, just used your CarEdge used car service to set up the sale of my 2017 Mini Cooper S. In just the last 3 months, its increased car value has gone up $2,400. Folks, I encourage every single one of you to just put your info into that form and do it again a week from now. And we've got a whole team behind the scenes that'll actually update you on values as they change, help you sell the dang thing. Please, like, it is not all bad news. If you have a car to sell, $2,400 is non-trivial, Dad. That's a lot of money.
That's $800 a month. Maybe I should see what kind of offers I can get for my clubmen.
Honestly, this is kind of like when we were at the beginning of the pandemic and prices were going crazy. I don't think this sustains itself for that long. We didn't even get into it today, but retail values are not increasing in the same way that wholesale values are, which really makes me question what's happening. But I'm telling y'all, it is a free resource. You should use it.
Well, and the other reality is that banks are tightening their lending guidelines when it comes to new and pre-owned cars, especially after some of the recent bank failures that we've had in this country, so that they're dialing back what they're willing to finance and who they're willing to finance. So if it's getting harder to get the loan, and if it's getting harder to get a loan that's out of whack, and what I mean by out of whack is, you know, in the past, banks... In the recent last 18 months or so, you know, banks were financing as much as 150% of the wholesale value of a vehicle, including tax and tags. Well, you know, the old guidelines were if you had really, really, really good credit, maybe they'd go up to 130 to 140%. And they went well past that. And my suspicion is that banks are getting back to the area of, you know, if you have really good credit, we might entertain 120%, but nothing more than that. So even if you have really good credit, it's going to be harder to finance that excess amount of money, which is going to require customers to come up with more cash down that they just may not have. So there's any number of things that could negatively impact what's going on. But right now, dealers are paying all the money in the world for used cars. Apparently, customers are paying all the money in the world to buy them at a retail level. And banks,
it's not going to last though, Dad. I'm telling you, things are going to become, I think the market's going to do a 180. Things are going to become more negotiable and we'll have a pulse on it when that happens. But I just don't see how it can sustain itself in the way that you're describing.
Well, you know, and I've been saying that for 3 years and then for the last 3 years, I don't know, somehow it's been sustaining itself. So that's the part that confuses me the most. And I said it to you last week. I mean, you know, you look at the historical data and you go, okay, this can't continue. But these are not normal times. So maybe they can continue. I don't know. Should they continue? Absolutely not. Because if this continues, ultimately everybody gets priced out of the market. I mean, everybody. So, yes, I agree with you. This shouldn't be sustainable. But like I said, I've been saying that for 3 years. And for the last 3 years, the damn thing's been sustainable.
Pops, we had a comment and a super chat come in from Michael. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you,
Michael. Waldorf Ford just got 15 Broncos in stock, supposedly from Chip Mountain. Each has a $5,000 markup. Shake my head. I thought the markup was due to a shortage. No, the markup is due to greed.
Yes.
And I think that all those markups are obviously negotiable. We know Ford has an oversupply of inventory. We're seeing significant negotiability at Ford for some of their 2022 F-150s and things like that. Pops, we also had a contribution come in from Leslie. Leslie, thank you. We really appreciate that. And Deb, one of our community members here recently had success with Ford. I'm actually going to pull that up on the screen. Let's take a quick peek. If you are new to the Car Edge community, please go to caredge.com/community. Let me get this banner off the screen so we can actually see this here and pull us over to the left. Dad, this success story was posted about a 2022 F-150 Lariat just yesterday. Just wanted to share my experience and the outcome. The tools you guys have available really helped me get in the right mindset before going into the dealership. Just first want to say that the salesman was excellent, top-notch person, very good person. The F&I person was my challenge. I noticed a few techniques they tried using on me, but I was ready because of Car Edge. Short story, I was completely courteous, and when the OTD price was more than I was originally told, I almost walked out. I was serious because I have a tight budget. They renegotiated the deal, and bottom line, I was able to purchase the optioned out Lariat for $3,800 below MSRP with 2.9% financing for 72 months. That's incredible. The savings will cover the finance charges unless I'm able to pay it off early. I had no idea how well equipped the truck is. I'm still learning all of its features, but I think the pricing is still way too much for these new trucks. But I also understand that the dealership has to make a profit to stay in business. I purchased a lot of trucks from the dealership, and this was the first time I felt like the F&I was trying to something me. Thank you, Car Edge, Ray and Zach. Success stories are everywhere over on caredge.com/community. And the other thing, for those of you that might be, man, look at this. Mario was such a, this is from Matthew. He actually got his Range Rover dad.
Yes.
And he used the concierge service. This is an awesome, awesome success story as well. A beautiful Range Rover that he got hands on as well. Having Mario in my corner took all the stress out of what would have otherwise been a nerve-wracking process for me. Get me a sense of certainty and confidence. I mean, please come over here. If you're not using Deal School, use Deal School. Like, this market might be challenging. It doesn't have to be the end of the world. You have a ton of resources, whether it be us doing it for you. Thank you. All Truck Fleet Box. Thimble Ring, a.k.a. Shell Game. There's still some wins to happen out there, Dad. We love celebrating those.
You know, and we've said it before, and we will continue to say it. You have to work at it, but if you're willing to put in that effort and energy, there's a reward to be had. You just have to be willing to do it. And if you're not, then, you know, go pay.
Let us do it.
Yeah, let us do it, or just go pay too much.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right, Pops. So tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern time, we are going to be hosting the first ever Car Edge Automotive Roundtable. We've got some guests lined up. It'll be a live stream at 7 p.m. Eastern over on the Car Edge main channel. I don't know about you, but we're getting closer to it. I'm getting more and more excited to have this conversation with
Craig too.
From Flying Wheels, Brandon from Car Questions Answered, and Lucky from Automotive Life. It is going to be really fun.
It will, and I think it will be equally as enlightening for our audience as it will be for each of the participants. I just think, you know, we have, I don't know how many years worth of experience between all of us, but I just believe that there will be things that will be shared or stories that will be told that will enlighten every last one of us.
Yeah, I'm really excited, and I can't wait, Dad. I hope it's the start of a series that we're able to do. I see someone in the chat saying, bring Ben Hardy on. Sure, would love to. Whoever we can get to join us, we would absolutely love to have with us.
Can I say one thing? That light bulb that somebody thinks needs to be changed, that's on a different switch. So that light
Why?
Bulb,
no one knows.
Yeah, that light bulb actually lights up. It's just on a different switch. So perhaps I. You know, if my electric bill's not big enough, I should make it just a little larger for the show.
Pops, you're going live again in 15 minutes over on Car Edge Electric, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yes. Don't ask me what the hell we're talking about, but I think it has to do with range And I'm not talking about range of motion. I'm talking about the range that you can drive some of these electric vehicles, and how battery chemistry is the buzzword for EVs today.
Ah, interesting. I'm starting to understand why you wore a collared shirt today. Going to be all smart on the next show.
Well, I need to look. I need to look the part, even though I can't play the part of an intelligent
person. If only someone sent you a summary.
They did. I actually have it pulled up. You know, I could share it with everybody, but you know, I shouldn't. Yes.
Hey, so search on the YouTube search bar, Car Edge Electric. We are running a St. Patrick's Day promotion through the end of the month. So if we can help you out buying a car, selling a car, insurance, warranties, finance, if you're interested in any of those things, please go to caredge.com. Tune in tomorrow. We'll have another show here on the Ray and Zach channel at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And tune into the Car Edge channel tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern for our first ever Automotive Roundtable. Pops, have a wonderful Tuesday. I look forward to talking to you later on, and thank you for everything as always.
Well, thank you, and yes, I'm pretty sure you have a meeting scheduled for later today. So, yeah, I'll be there, buddy.
Yeah, it's actually a couple guys on the team. It's their birthday, so we're going to be playing some games and celebrating their birthdays. I'm really excited about
what,
that.
What time is that meeting?
1:30. So please make sure you show up because we need you for games time. Game time.
Oh my God! Well, I might have a sandwich in hand when I do that meeting because I haven't had my lunch yet and I have to do another show.
He's busy. Please don't unionize.
No. I wouldn't. I would dream of it. I might ask for a raise, but I won't unionize.
I love you, Dad. Thank you, everyone, for being here.
Everybody, thanks for being here. See you back here tomorrow. Hope everybody has a great day. Come see me at the Car Edge Unplugged or whatever the hell we are in a few minutes.
Dude, you need better internet. All right, see you guys.
Okay, I'll work on it.